The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. We hope all of you are safe, especially in the storm's path. It has been a rough couple of days, if not weeks, and we appreciate you making time for us here this afternoon. We have a lot to do. A number of guests will be dropping by. We'll also get to your phone calls in just a moment if you want to start calling in now at 855-242-7285. But let's begin with some headlines. And for a change, they look pretty good. Headlines coming from Georgia today involve not only the UGA, but the SEC. How, so far, the pandemic has gone maybe better than others. We'll get deeply into that in a couple of minutes with a very special guest. And you know, everyone has taken a hit. That goes without saying, but some are managing a little bit better than others. Meanwhile, the recruiting dead period has been extended. This coming down late yesterday from the NCAA. The NCAA Division I Council extends the recruiting dead period for all sports through May 31st. There's a lot of debate about whether that was a good idea. And Ross Bjork, the athletic director at Texas A&M, is very disappointed in his statement or tweet. He said, this is very disappointing. We've made many advancements in protocols like rapid testing and social distancing measures to safely host families and prospects on our respective campuses. If we don't have a clear plan for June 1st, we are doing many young people a disservice. It's time. Meanwhile, former Alabama kicker is transferring. That news coming out. Joseph Bolivas is going to Vandy to play for Clark Lee, who we had on here a week ago today. In Florida, Keontae Johnson says he is blessed to be alive. The great Florida Gator who went down early in the season, and the Gators have certainly missed him, but he has been an inspiration for many, many people. And he continues to be with his statement today. Another player looking at Ann Arbor, Michigan in his rear view mirror. How many times have we seen this movie? Joe Milton says, you know what? I've had enough. Who hasn't had enough of Jim Harbaugh? He has entered the portal. Let's just take a quick look at an amazing trend. Wilton Spite, Malzone, Peters, McCaffrey, and now Milton. And somehow, the name that should be on that list has escaped it. And that is Jim Harbaugh. Nebraska and Illinois were supposed to start 21 in Dublin. Remember last year, I think it was supposed to be Navy and Notre Dame, but because of the pandemic, that has now been changed. We are hoping to get back to normal, but a trip to Dublin is not quite in the cards. Neither is the McDonald's All-American game. For the second year in a row, it is a victim of COVID. Always a great game, usually around the time of the Final Four. Not this year. Hopefully next. Meanwhile, Tim Tebow has decided enough is enough. His farewell to baseball has occurred. He has sent a message to the New York Mets management, thanking them, the fans, for the chance to be part of a great organization. He said, I loved every minute of the journey, but at this time I feel called in other directions. I never want to be partially in on anything. I always want to be 100% in on whatever I choose. Thank you again for everyone's support for this awesome journey in baseball. I'll always cherish my time as a Met. While pitchers and catchers reported yesterday, a lot of the minor leaguers were about to show up, and that included Tebow, who was supposed to start his fifth season with the Mets organization. So we will talk about all of that and more throughout the program today. As I mentioned, we'll have plenty of calls and talk to Seth Emerson about how Georgia and others have dealt with the pandemic. Pete Thamel is up at 4:15. His thoughts on Malzahn. Everybody seems to have an opinion on that. and the college basketball tournament coming up shortly. John Talty, he covered Malzahn for many, many years at Auburn. He will join us. And the judgment expert, Ken Smithmeyer, in the final hour today, will judge all the hires now that we think the last hire of the coaching carousel is done. And many believe, I saw in USA Today this morning in a ranking that UCF won the sweepstakes. It had UCF with Gus Malzahn ranked first, and number two was Brian Harsin at Auburn. So Malzahn leaves Auburn. His replacement gets the number two spot, and Malzahn takes number one. The phone number here again is 855-242-7285. For the 4 hours, we will work your phone calls in around the guests. And we always look forward to that. Bobby starts us off. Bobby is in Tennessee, and you're first up on the air.
Hello, Paul. This is Bobby in Dyersburg, Tennessee. I was in the hospital having a total hip replacement surgery on January 26th in St. Francis in Memphis when the Josh Heupel hire was made, and I'm just now getting around to calling you and asking you about that. My surgery went well, and it's looking like I'm going to make a good recovery for a 59-year-old man. But anyway, Paul, my question is, do you believe you and I will be having this same conversation 3 years from now like we were having about Jeremy Pruitt 2-3 months ago?
Well, Bobby, first of all, I'm really glad to hear you're doing better, and I know that hospital pretty well. My mom has been in that hospital before, and it's a great hospital in Memphis. I don't think so. I have a feeling that this hire will be extended for a while. I think Heupel, I'm not suggesting that he'll be the next John Majors, Phil Fulmer, and Robert Nealon wrapped into one, but I think he will be steady once they get through the probation or whatever sanctions they take. I think the support there will be there for him. So I don't think 3 years from now we will be having this conversation.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, Paul.
Thank you, and all the best with your recovery. That sounds like a pretty serious deal, a hip surgery. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Christian, yes, I'm sorry, I got the wrong call there. How about Clark up next in Georgia? Hey, Clark.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Clark, I'm doing great. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. Drafting and, recruiting and all that is over with and everything, and it's doing real good and all. Everybody seems to be relatively happy. Paul, I want you to explain to us what is a preferred walk-on recruit in football. I just don't have a good understanding of what that is. Preferred walk-on recruit in football. Could you please help us with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to try to answer, and if I don't do a good job, I will supplement a better answer. Preferred walk-on doesn't really mean much, I don't think, from a scholarship standpoint. It just means that the coach invited you to do it as opposed to you just showing up. But I'm going to pause there for a second. I want to make sure I get the definition or the differentiation between preferred walk-on and walk-on clear before I get too deep into an answer that may be incorrect. But hold on, and I will get you the entire answer here shortly. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Adrian is in Ohio. Hey, Adrian, go right ahead.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question on what you think about Urban Meyer going to coach at Jacksonville after he left Ohio State because of a medical issue.
I am somewhat underwhelmed by it, Aiden. I don't fault the owner down there for grabbing at Urban Meyer. Everyone seems to think that he is going to be the ticket. I mean, he's been a phenomenal college coach. I think outside of Nick Saban, he's been the best college coach in the last 25 years. But I don't think he'll be successful in the NFL because he is going to deal with both internal and external pressures that he has never seen before. He was a dictator in college football. He was completely an authoritarian. I'll get the word right. he ran the show. Nobody else could had a vote. And his authority ruled over every single thing in the locker room, both at Florida and, of course, at Ohio State. And, you know, that type of autocratic rule does not work in professional football. You have an owner, you have a GM, you have guys in the locker room who aren't scared of Urban Meyer. And I think it will be a very tall hill to climb.
Okay. Thank you for your opinion.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. We will take a break here as we line up some more callers, and I hope everybody will join us. Back with much more on a very busy Thursday afternoon. Hope you stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Thursday afternoon. And Coach is up next. How are you, Coach?
Doing fine, Paul. How are you?
We are doing fantastic. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I got in a few minutes late today, and I got the tail end of a conversation you had. I think I wasn't sure what the question was about a preferred walk-on. Was it just what is a preferred walk-on?
Yeah, I always thought it was that they had the opportunity to get there before the other walk-ons. Is that correct?
It is. It's by invitation. My daughter's actually one now at a D1 school, and it's by invitation. It's kind of a situation where you don't, like in the old days, you would have open walk-on tryouts in some cases where any student athlete could come, and for a day they would do that. And some coaches will keep them. I mean, most coaches on most D1 levels in basketball have walk-ons, whether they're called preferred or just walk-ons. But a preferred walk-on usually is an athlete who has been invited. They go through, my daughter's situation went through about an hour and a half workout just with the coaches, not with the team and so forth, before she was invited. Due to not having any scholarships available, she was just invited to as a spot on the team. Now, their grades and how their academics is handled a little different from scholarship when you're talking about APRs and so forth. But it's pretty much the difference is it's by invitation, whereas a walk-on situation is usually done by tryout, open tryout. And that's pretty much the difference. It's okay. Not a lot of difference.
Well, I appreciate you passing it along, Co. How have you been? It's been a long time since we've talked.
Yeah, it has. Well, I've been listening every day and watching, but after the call from California last week, I guess from Danny Sheridan's relative, I thought I can't wait to hear her call again. That was quite. That's going to go down in the history of the show.
Yeah. Now, yeah. The one great part about a live show, Coach, is you never know, you know, where history will be made next, and. I don't think we'll be able to outrun that call.
Well, I know it, but hey, I'm looking forward to the next fall. Hopefully we can get together in Knoxville again.
I hope so. And, it's long overdue. Coach, you take care of yourself and be well. Phil is up next in Nashville. Hey, Phil, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, sending you greetings from icy, snowy Nashville. Hope
that's what
you're
I
doing well today, sir.
We are. Hope you guys are safe up there.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get better. Hey, Paul, two things. One is this deal that came out yesterday afternoon about the NCAA extending the deal where the coaches and stuff going to seeing the recruits and stuff. Don't you think, I mean, me personally, isn't that hurting the schools by them doing this? And also, it seemed like NCAA is trying to keep up with NASCAR. They're trying their best to hurt the fans, the participants, and everything else. And number two, Paul, and I'll hang up. I know you probably can't answer this question, but how long will it be, do you think, from the NCAA will come up with some kind of penalty on Tennessee, or will they? I mean, it just seemed like they
Well, Phil, let me answer your Tennessee question. It will be a while because – you know, the case is, you know, they don't do anything quickly. I do think this will be a faster track than some because the university has already done all the work. We act like the NCAA comes in and investigates. They don't do anything. They basically show up and ask the school what happened and what went wrong. And if the school's honest, they already have their case made. But it does take a while. So I don't think that will be a fast track. On the NCAA's case, you have to remember, the NCAA is like the UN. It's a body that represents every classification, every university. So, you know, while the Power Five schools and even most of the Group of Five are better equipped to deal with things than smaller schools, they don't act in the big schools' behalf, and that's always been the problem with the NCAA, and it's why college football operates itself. It's run by the Power Five conferences for the most part. And not the populist view of the NCAA office. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And Dan is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Dan, we're doing great.
First time caller. I'm a long-suffering Auburn fan.
Okay, thank you.
Couple of questions. I cannot find any information on Coach Harsin's contract at Auburn, and I don't hear you talking.
Yeah, I believe I believe I've seen it. You know, I'll have to call it up, but I think it's a pretty. I believe it's something like $4 million a year over 5 years. I could be off on that, but that's my basic recollection.
Okay. Just a couple of observations, see if you agree on. I had all respect for Coach Malzahn, but I also felt like he there wasn't any development in players, per se. I see you talking, but I don't...
Let me explain. This is something I say occasionally. If you're watching television, what you're seeing is not going to happen for about 7 seconds. So you can't. It is live, but it's delayed because of all kinds of things that are complex, and I'm not smart enough to understand. But as far as Harsin is concerned, I believe he's got a good contract. I can give you the exact numbers in a minute. But Malzahn did not. Was not great at developing players, especially offensive players, and I think that's a proven fact. And I think Bo Nix is probably the best example of that. Let's continue with more calls. And how about Drex in Texas? How are you, Drex? Drex, you there? I did not hear him. Let me try another caller. Joel is in Florida. Hey, Joel. I keep hitting the wrong button here. I apologize. I'm having a rough day already. Let me try Joel again. Joel, go right ahead.
Can you hear me, Paul? How you doing?
You sound great. Thank you.
I see that UCF finally made number one ranking in something.
How about that? Yeah, a legitimate number one ranking.
And, I'd like to comment on your interview with Bianchi the other day. I thought he was totally out of line. I think just the opposite about you. I think you're actually a champion for the little guy. I don't see you as a homer at all. Maybe some of your audience is. But I just thought he was totally out of line there. I will make one point about the 2017 season. I don't think that was Alabama's best team. Would you agree, even though they won the championship?
No, no. By no means was that a perfect team by Alabama.
Right, and I guess Auburn had beaten them and won West and lost to Georgia in the finals, right?
Yeah, that was the year. If you remember the 17 season, Georgia and Auburn played for the SEC championship. Auburn had beaten both Alabama and Georgia as number one teams, and then Alabama snuck in ahead of, I believe it was Ohio State.
And I think they beat Clemson.
Clemson was number one, and after that, I believe it was Georgia, Oklahoma, and Alabama, and Ohio State finished fifth.
But I believe Clemson was in between Deshaun Watson and Lawrence.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that was the year I think Clemson lost a game at, at Syracuse? And
Alabama beat them like 24-6.
Yeah, it was a really Alabama just shut Clemson down that night. And meanwhile, Georgia beat a really good Oklahoma team with Baker Mayfield in overtime at the Rose Bowl.
Right. My point is that Auburn came out flat to UCF, and I can understand why after not making the playoffs. But I would have liked to have seen UCF play Alabama that year. I'm not saying they could have beaten them. I just would have liked to see them on the field.
Joe, let me make it clear, in spite of what people want to say about me, that was a really good UCF team. I don't think I quite appreciated them until it was over, but it was. And I think they could have hung with Alabama for a while. Alabama was a streaky team that year, and they were playing especially well at the end. Their defense was not great. Remember, most of Alabama's star players were very young at that point. That was Jalen Hurts' team, and then he was replaced by Tua in the championship game. Hey, thank you for the call. Up against a break. Seth Emerson will be joining us shortly. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. And Seth Emerson here from The Athletic, writing about a number of things. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia in a minute. But Seth, as we say hello to you, great to have you on. Let's talk a little bit about this piece you did in relation to Georgia and others, including the SEC, dealing with the pandemic. We were led to believe it was going to be a bloodbath. It wasn't pretty, but tell us about what you discovered and what you found out.
Well, Paul, looking around, number one, we're not all through it. We're in the midst of the fiscal year that is the most painful. Right now at Georgia and at other places, what you're seeing is a review of the fiscal year that completed in June, last July, where they lost the NCAA tournament, but that was the main financial hit from the pandemic. The current one is going to have the hit from attendance and tickets, but it's not going to have loss of TV revenue because they had a football season. It was going to be, like you said, a bloodbath if they hadn't had a football season. Instead, if you look around the SEC, and this goes for a lot of the Power 5 conferences and a lot of the Power 5 programs, but the SEC specifically, there's been no teams that have been cut, to my knowledge, unless I looked at this national website that tracks the sports that have been cut. You know, you heard about Stanford cutting a bunch of sports. Iowa did, and then backtracked on one of them the other day. That hasn't happened in the SEC. You haven't heard about massive job losses. Georgia didn't even do furloughs. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the SEC, that network that you're on right now, and the money it provides, and just the TV contracts in general leading up to this year provided such a cushion that they've been able to absorb it. And what they're hoping is that they're able to get back to some normalcy next year. And if they're able to do that this fall, Paul, and have normal attendance at football games, I think they're going to look back and write this off as just a big dodge bullet in terms of the pandemic.
Seth, let me ask you about the fall. And everyone is speculating, and nobody really knows for sure, but you do know people that have to start projecting in anticipating. And what are you hearing in terms of a return to normal?
Well, what Josh Brooks, the Georgia AD, said the other day is they're hoping return to normal. They're planning for full stadiums, but they're not budgeting as if they're going to get that yet. And they've learned through this that they can be nimble and they can react. I mean, they don't have to make those decisions quite yet. They didn't make the decisions on limited attendance for the 2020 season, most of the schools, until August. So they can wait and see how vaccinations and the improvement, hopefully, in the entire virus picture look going in the spring and the summer. Look, if we're continuing the trajectory we're on right now, it looks pretty likely to have full stadiums again in the fall. But we've also learned during this that we were sitting there when the thing first happened in last March and thought, well, you know, everything will be fine by football season. No one's worried about football. And then obviously we were. So everyone knows that you can't count your chickens till they're hatched when it comes to this thing.
Seth, one more question on the pandemic and how it revolves around sports. And, you know, the SEC made the decision to play, and so did two other leagues, and everybody else joined them. In relation to basketball, what do you sense, and what are you seeing as we are now under a month from the NCAA basketball tournament, which is a big moneymaker, especially from a television standpoint?
Well, I think you hit on the important point. They're going to have it. They're going to have the SEC tournament. They're going to have the NCAA tournament. It's funny, and they're going to do it without fans in large part. But it's funny, Paul, when you think back to, I think throughout this, going back to last March and the way the goalposts have been moved so many times during this, the idea of bubbles was just something the NCAA, you know, you couldn't really almost touch it, but then you could talk about it a little bit. And then by the time they announced that basically they're going to do the entire NCAA tournament in Indianapolis, that's my understanding, it was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, you can do that. And it's the smart thing to do, and they're going to be able to do it, and they'll get the TV revenue from it. You and I both know that even conference, at least the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, are not really dependent revenue-wise on attendance. You know, you want fans there for a more aesthetically pleasing product to watch on television, but it's the television revenue that guides it, and they're going to do it. They're going to have it, you know, barring something calamitous happening, which is just a massive series of outbreaks, which everyone is just kind of, you know, holding their breath and hoping doesn't happen in basketball.
Seth Emerson with us from The Athletic. Seth, if I could get to the field for a second. Now, on this program, there is always a conversation about Georgia. What is next? The expectations high.
Yeah.
And then there's always the outlier, somebody unhappy with Kirby Smart. Can you analyze where this Georgia program is right now and that occasional cry about Kirby Smart?
You know, you're going to hear that occasional cry more from outside the fan base. Every time you do the poll of rational and even most Georgia fans, people have more patience. I think that outside the Georgia sphere, people look and say, well, you know, look at everything they've done, all this great recruiting, all these great players, and they haven't won a national championship. You know, and when are they going to do it? You know, it's so disappointing, et cetera, et cetera. Inside, they say, look, yeah, they are disappointed. They don't have one by now. But that 2017 season happened, you know? I mean, they were a busted coverage away from winning the national championship. It's not like they haven't made the playoff. They did. The issue is they've gone a little bit backwards every year, Paul, since then. 2018, they go back to the SEC championship and lose another heartbreaker to Alabama. 2019, they go back to the SEC championship, but this time get blown out. 2020, don't even make it to the SEC championship. It's a slight step back every year, and if they don't go back to the SEC championship this year at minimum, or you know some Alabama 2017-like scenario where they for some reason don't win the division but make the playoff, if they don't do that, playoff or SEC championship game at minimum, then you're going to hear more grumbling around here. But the fact of the matter is people, I don't think they see a window that's closing right now because recruiting has been so good. And quarterback's been an issue, obviously, but they have J.D. Daniels coming back for a year. They've got Brock Vandegrift here. They just got a commitment from Gunnar Stockton. People feel optimistic about the Georgia program and just feel like they feel like they're going to be in the running. They're going to be contending. And having been through 2017, people understand you want to be in the running, and you just got to hope that it's your turn at some point.
Seth, finally, considering the issues at so many other programs, that should be enough. My question, is it enough for Georgia fans who have gotten a taste of what you just got through describing and also know how long it's been since a national title flag has flown over Athens?
You know, Mark Richt today tweeted out a photo of himself in Georgia gear that I think it was the first time we've seen him in fresh Georgia gear since he was fired in 2015. And it's his birthday today. And it kind of reminded me that I think the further we get from the Mark Richt era, I think the more people appreciate it. Like when we see these comparisons, like, oh, Kirby Smart's only done what Mark Richt did in his first 5 years. Well, yeah, those first 5 years under Mark Richt were really good. And there were some pretty good years after that. I think that points to, again, within the Georgia fan base, there's a little bit more appreciation for, look, they want to win a national championship. They will ultimately, when Kirby Smart's tenure is over, feel like it did fall short, maybe even call it a failure, if they don't win a national championship. But you're not hearing, except for a few people, and it's not a very loud minority, even at that, but what you're not hearing is that Kirby Smart is not the person to get them the championship. Now, if you have a few more years, maybe even one more year, where you have this perception that, you know, he's holding back the offense or he's not making the right game day decisions, et cetera, I think you'll hear more people wondering aloud about that. But right now, everybody feels very confident that, look, you can't automatically say it's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years or even next year, but they feel like Kirby Smart has them in position to continually contend for playoff and national championship contention.
Always a great conversation with Seth Emerson of The Athletic. Seth, many thanks. Be well. Come back soon.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Wow, that was great. A very succinct and thoughtful analysis of Georgia. We will get your reaction to all of that. Phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285. John Talty about an hour and 15 minutes away. Many more calls as we return right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back, and Bobby is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Bobby.
How you doing, my friend?
We are doing great.
I wanted to compliment you.
Thank you.
Good. I wanted to compliment you. You're the best out there. If you don't know the answer, you get it. And that's better to me than shooting from the hip. You know, you don't make a stink, the answer is one thing, then you find out you still candy coat. You get the real deal.
Thank you, Bobby.
I wanted to comment about the guy, Seth Emerson.
Yes.
That's the best I have heard in a long time. And I'll tell you why. Georgia, if you remember, which I'm sure you do, when Dooley left, Georgia had some coaching issues also. You know, they brought in Dick Sheridan, I think was his name, from NC State. What, he stayed a day and a half and left?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Then they brought in Jim Dunning, that he was kind of like Jared.
Well, I thought they, didn't they hire, you know, was it Sheridan or Glenn Mason? I can't remember which one it was.
Well, Mason didn't stay, but Sheridan, they remember, he was from NC State, and he wanted to bring his full staff. Oh,
okay.
And he got there, and something happened. But he only stayed a day and a half.
So it happened. Yeah, I remember all that. I remember Georgia having that issue before.
Remember Jim Dinan?
Sure.
He won games. They won some games, but the priest threw him out of communion because he couldn't get along with him. You know?
I always thought Jim Donnan was a good coach.
He was. They won some games. He was from Oklahoma. Remember, he was
he was Barry Switzer's offensive coordinator.
Switzer.
Sure was.
Yeah. Then you got Steve Spurrier's favorite coach, Ray Goof.
Yeah, I do remember Ray.
Ray Goff. Yeah. Then after that, of course, you get Mark Richt that stabilized and they won games, but he didn't win enough big games. You know, give Kirby time. You know, let him build. He'll get a winner. Hell, it took Dooley 20. You know, he was there 25 years and won one national title.
Well, I agree. Well, thank you much. It's really nice of you to call. Thank you, Bobby. Coy is up next in Florida. Hey, Coy, go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was watching you talk to Bianchi the other day, and it just came across like, you know, he made a really good point about UCF not being able to go to the dance because they were too ugly, I guess. But they said the same thing about Boise State when they played Oklahoma, that they didn't have a chance. I mean, I think he made a lot of good points. Hey, did you know that Tom Petty went to Mike Bianchi's wedding?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he was there. And, you know, Elvis, he sang a lot of songs, but he never wrote any. So I'm thinking myself that who was the guy to give a guy who had Tom Petty at their wedding?
Ben is up next in Charleston. Hey, Ben, go right ahead. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, man? I'm a first-time caller, and I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I watch you more than the news. And you've really gotten us through so much in the past year, and just really appreciate
Thank you
all
very
you've
much.
Done for us at home. I just wanted to comment on Seth Emerson's piece there with you, and I really respect all that he's done covering Georgia over the years. I thought that was some really good insight there. It just kind of reminds me that with Georgia, we've always – I'm sorry, I'm a lifelong Georgia fan. And it reminds me that our goal, for the most part, has always been to beat Tennessee and to beat Florida and to beat Auburn every year. And if you look at Kirby Smart's record, I'd say he's had quite success there. And so these people that, you know, expect him to beat the greatest coach of all time, Saban – get a national championship, it's not easy. And I think people need to kind of slow it down a little bit.
Ben, I agree. I think Kirby Smart has done a really good job, and maybe getting to that championship game and losing in overtime, it haunts him now because Georgia felt like they had the national championship within reach, but he's recruited better than any Georgia coach in history. He's winning at a very high clip, and the Rick comparisons are futile because, you know, Rick flamed out at the end, and Kirby Smart, I don't think, is ever going to deviate from the position he's on. I understand the frustration this year of losing to Florida. That hurts. But other than that, Kirby Smart's run a remarkable program. We're heading to a break. More to come. many more hours to go here on a Thursday afternoon. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.